Oh, good morning, and welcome to Oh, Good Morning, a pop culture podcast. Today, we are going to be talking about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1 and Volume 2. Today, with us, we have a special, very, very special guest, Antonio Loya. Antonio, would you please tell us a little bit about yourself?
No! I'm just kidding.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
My name is Antonio. I'm from Colorado. I study musical theater. And that's my whole personality.
He's one of us.
Yeah. Except I don't study musical theater. I study directing and musical theater.
Nerd!
Wait to one up me, Kyle.
You know, speaking of directing, you know what? I'm gonna plug something that I'm doing right now. Can I do that? Is that okay? Other hosts?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Right now, I want to do this at the beginning, because people will probably just stop listening after a little bit. So I got to say this right now. So I'm directing a play in Spencer, Iowa, this December 17th through the 19th. On the 17th, it's at 8 o'clock. On the 19th, it's at 2:30 and 8 o'clock. And on the 18th, it's 2:30 and 8 o'clock. And on the 19th, it's at 2:30. It is called The Audience Disturbs Marcel's Bath Time, and he is very upset with you all. And that's all you need to know. Tickets are $8. You can go to www.marcelsbath.wixsite.com/my-site.
Period. And if you need help locating Spencer on a map, if you look at Iowa and you see a butt, that's where it is. The ass crack.
What?
It's like the center, like the anus of Iowa.
Whoa, what?
Okay.
Why does that ever,
I don't...
Spencer.
That was the way I...
I'm very confused, but I see.
I like Spencer. I'm not saying that the anus is a bad thing. I'm just saying if you need help locating it on a map, just in there.
So, Miklo is directionally challenged, and hasn't...
No kids for you. Ridiculous.
Oh, man. Anyway.
I see. Anyway, yes, come check out The Audience Disturbs Marcel's Bath Time, and he's very upset with you all. It is exactly what it sounds like.
I love the trailers where he just like screams. I watched the first one because it's just so like valid. Like if like a group of people was watching me take a bath, I think I would have a similar reaction.
Thank you. I got the inspiration from, you know, those like perfectly cut screams on the internet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was just like, I got to do that for a trailer. It's like perfect. Anyway, yes. Right now I will actually do something cool. Watch this. I'll play the trailer right now. Wasn't that an interesting trailer? Wow, cool.
Oh, wow.
Wow, the trailer where he's screaming. Oh. Now they get to experience it just like we did.
Yes. Oh, now, we are going to talk about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1 first, I suppose. Why don't we do that? Yeah, let's do that. What did we think of the movie overall? Just go around in a circle. Antonio, you can start because you are our wonderful guest.
Oh, yes. I like it. I don't think it's like one of the best Marvel movies, but I love the music of it. That's probably my favorite part of both of the movies, is just like the music and how well it's intertwined in the film. I think the characters are super fun. I really like Rocket Raccoon. I think he's probably my favorite. And yeah, I think it's a great film.
Yeah, I'd have to totally agree. I think, even though I don't think this is the best of the Marvel movies, I think this is a really just a really good movie overall. Like I'm not rating the Marvel movies, but I think it's just on the top tier of the Marvel movies. And I agree. I think the music just like, it's one of those movies where like the music really works. I feel like there's a lot of movies where like they just put music in and you're like, why? Don't do that. And now this movie is like, we put music in and you're like, oh, that was good. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I would say like the thing about Guardians 1 is I'm gonna go out there and say it, but I think this one is my favorite origin story for a Marvel movie. I just think it's a really fun story, and I think the comedic timing of all the actors that were in it was fantastic. And I really like the story. I love the villain. I think the villain's perfect, and it also introduces us to one of the Infinity Stones, which is pretty cool. But I think this is just a really solid movie all around. Good story, good characters, characters that you can root for, which I think is like one of the biggest things for Marvel movies. But yeah, really, really good origin story, and probably my favorite origin story that's Marvel as of now.
Yeah, I just thought it was like a cool movie. Like when it came out, like you watched it and you were just like, this is a, like, it was just cool and it was just fun. But it wasn't cool in the way where it's like, I'm a badass, like, type thing. It was, like, weird. And all of the characters have, like, very distinctive personalities. Like, we have this femme fatale who is so much more than just that. Like, she is a lot of childhood trauma. And I like how a lot of the movie is her, like, letting her walls break down. And we have, like, our stereotypical, like, Marvel, like, asshole who thinks that he's God's gift from heaven. But he also has a lot that he's dealing with. And I really like that. I like that these people were people and not just superheroes. Like, I, that was my favorite part of the movie. Like, because yes, like, the music is amazing, and like the fact that it's in space is so cool, because space is just cool. Like, we see that with Star Wars. But I like how it was a story about people. And when we talk about the second movie, I'll get more into like the sister relationship, and I love the sister relationship. That's my favorite part of the series. But like, I just love this movie because it's just so, it's so out of this world, but it's so real at the same time. Like, I would call it one of the more real Marvel movies, specifically because these aren't like gods among men, like how every other movie was. Like, these are just not humans, but these are people. These are people who somehow, like, they're acting out of their own best interest, but they're somehow aligned with what's the greater good for everybody. And I like that. I think that's an interesting angle for Marvel heroes, because like, not everyone is Captain America, like a shining armor Nazi fighter. And I love that. I love that so much. I like the complexity of it all.
Yeah, I would agree. I think this is a really interesting film because in like the canon of the way the movies were made, this movie kind of stands out as a kind of really heartfelt like movie in the series. I feel like when the Marvel movies were first starting out, like phase one, you get like Iron Man 2, Thor, first Avengers movie. I think that was kind of the era of like, oh, I'm a cool badass. That's the whole thing. And I feel like this one is like starting us in the era. I don't know why I guess we can call the Marvel movies eras of certain things. I think this is just like the era of heart. Like, I think we've reached a point in like the Marvel movie series where a lot of the characters just have a lot of heart. And I think this is like our first like jumpstart into that. And it's so different from everything else. Like, if you think about this, the movie right before it was Captain America, the Winter Soldier. And the movie before that was Iron Man 3, or Thor the Dark World, which is.
Thor the Dark World.
Yeah.
Our old friend.
Good friend, Thor the Dark World. But yeah, anyway, I think this is just so different. Even like, we got Thor the Dark World that was in space, and Thor that was in space, and the Avengers had a little bit of space in there. This is sci-fi action comedy, and it's completely out of left field, which is really cool.
Yeah, I think something else I want to add in terms of this film, and something that I think the Guardians films do so much better than every other film, is just their use of colors and the way that they shoot their films in terms of cinematography. Because you could very much tell that James Gunn has a very cinematic eye for things. Yes. And he's also just a very colorful director, which I think is fantastic. And I think it fits well into the Marvel Universe, which I know, like, comparing these films to, like, DC films, like, DC films like have gotten scrutiny because they're just dark. At least the earlier ones, not as much like Aquaman.
Watch Suicide Squad. It's so good.
Yeah, but I haven't watched it, so I can't comment. But I really like their use of colors, and they're like super bright and vibrant colors, which I think also like kind of plays into the whole, oh, we have like 80s, 70s music, like super old retro music. And I think it fits so perfectly into the film. And I love James Gunn as a director too.
I think also this movie, like, I love how you're talking about the colors, Ryan, because I think a lot of the criticism aimed at like a lot of the earlier Marvel movies, and even like the Marvel movies going into phase two, like even like Civil War gets a lot of criticism for this, is the colors. Like, a lot of people see the Marvel movies and it's a very, like, it's purposely a gray palette. You know, like, everything's not very colorful. It's not they don't try to make the color stand out. But I feel like this is the start of like, oh, we can actually show like stylistic differences in the MCU, which is kind of nice, because at this point, I would call it like I mean, we're even getting it now, like the superhero fatigue, where superhero movies like kind of feel the same, even though they're not, they're slightly different. But I feel like this is not the average like cookie cutter Marvel movie.
No, yeah, around like Iron Man 2, Iron Man 3, like around that era, I started kind of falling off with Marvel because it literally was that. And then Guardians of the Galaxy came out, and like I remember like that was the movie like at that time everyone went to see. Like, it wasn't Avengers level popular because like everyone saw Avengers, but it was like cool and it was fun. Like, it was that movie that like you watched and like you would joke about like at recess, and it was nice to see a movie that was different. It was nice to see Marvel step out of their comfort zone that wasn't the Avengers. It was so nice to see so many new characters, and it obviously it's a cinematic universe, but I liked how they took a risk and they used people that maybe weren't going to make money, because like this could have failed because it didn't have anything that really made it a Marvel movie. Like, it was so different. And I think that like artistically speaking, in addition to the music and addition to the story and in addition to just like what the MCU was set up as, like, it's crazy to imagine like everything that would come, because like that beginning like was so safe. Like, everything felt safe, but this felt like art. Like, he is a director that I just feel like is so artistically inclined. Like, you can tell that every actor on that movie had a blast making it. Like, the way they speak about him, like, that slight smile they get on their face anytime you ask a James Gunn actor how the experience was. And that's what I think made that movie special, was just the risks and the artistic direction and just, like, the ways in which it wasn't, like, because we, like, there's that joke about Marvel movies, like, they're all just kind of the same, but this wasn't that. Like, this set the curve for what a Marvel movie could be.
I think one of the things that I liked about the movie was that, like, it's kind of going off what you said, like, it's a risk, like, to do a movie like this, because nobody knows who the Guardians were before this. Nobody does. Like, at least the Avengers and, like, X-Men, they had, like, a name to them. But like nobody knows who they are. And I think that's what makes this special, is like it's just this group of people that they put on a screen and then it just works. And they did a lot of really cool things with it. And I thought, I love it.
Yeah, I think like one thing that's really, I can see, especially like watching James Gunn's, most of James Gunn's films I have, he always has a very particular vision. Like, he's just one of those directors who just, he knows what he wants. And I think he's very successful in that. I personally did not like the Suicide Squad. I'm sorry, very sorry, Miklo. I did.
Are you serious?
I'm sorry. I thought, we'll talk about it later. I think he has a very particular vision, and I think his visions work best under like supervision, if that makes sense. Like, when he has like guidelines, I think his movies work best, in my opinion. Like, I think that Guardians and Guardians 2 are very specific movies that work very well for me personally, just because they're in the Marvel universe, but they also he's following the tools that they give him, and he's taking his own spin on it, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
but that's just my opinion. Don't listen to me. Go check out the Suicide Squad and form your own opinion.
Yeah, the right one. Form the right opinion that it's an amazing masterpiece of a movie.
Yes. Anyway, let's talk about the characters. First one, Peter Quill, kind of our protagonist of the movie.
He's so annoying, but it, like, that's the point. Like he's so irritating, but I know that's like that's his whole character, and he becomes like a lot less irritating at the end of the movie, but he's still annoying, and I like that. But he's not annoying in the same way that like I want to punch Captain America and I want to punch Tony Stark whenever I see them on screen. Like, he's like. I wanna rough him around even more, because he thinks he's so good, but like he's
got a god complex.
He does
basically what it comes
down to. No, all of the Marvel men have god complexes, but Peter Quill's god complex is the most like unwarranted. And I think that's what it is. And it's like, for what? Like, what do you have? Like, you shoot a gun and you have like a jetpack, like, get over yourself.
What about in Volume 2?
He literally
becomes a god.
He literally is.
When he said daddy's a planet. But daddy's a planet. But I liked Peter Quill. He's a fun guy, and I like that he started off as like he's a charismatic asshole,
by the start, and that's kind of what he is at the end, but he definitely learns something about opening up to people. You can definitely tell it's a defense mechanism, and I think that Chris Pratt really did a great job. Like, he does really well with, like, likable characters that you just want to, like, slap in the face. And I don't know, I it was really nice to see him in his element, because he's such a great comedy actor.
He is, I agree. I think, like, even this isn't specifically about Chris Pratt, but, like, in James Gunn movies, you can tell, like, that he is so good at writing characters that are, like, that have a lot of trauma and that have, like, that are almost children in some ways, you know? Like, that are just, like, very childish characters. And I think he writes it so well, because usually in his movies, like, it's about the childish character not really growing up, but just learning a lesson. And I think it's really entertaining, and writes it very well. Like, Peter Quill is so interesting. Along with Rocket Raccoon, which we'll see in the sequel, has a lot more character development also.
Rocket is so sad. Like I love him so much, but, like, it's so, like, seeing his arc through those two movies is so sad, and then seeing what happens later on in the series just makes my heart break, because, like, there's a lot of trauma in the Guardians of the Galaxy, like, a lot of trauma, and it's really interesting when you, like, really, like, delve into all of it. Like, each character comes with a lot of emotional baggage.
I think, like, it goes back to the old saying that every comedy is a tragedy, and every tragedy is a comedy. And I think this movie works so well in that way, because even though it does have darker parts, and it does have, like, I don't know, a lot of dramatic parts, I feel like this movie at its core is a comedy, and it's sort of a tragedy. Like, this is very sad stuff. Like, kind of darker than a lot of other Marvel movies. Like, Rocket Raccoon was manufactured in a lab. Drax lost his family. Gamora was kidnapped by Thanos and raised to be an assassin. Peter Quill was kidnapped by pirates, and they were like, oh, we're going to take you to your father, but we don't. We're just going to raise you to do stuff for us. And who else we got? Groot? I don't know about him.
Groot's Groot.
Yeah, he is.
I think what makes it so tragic is, like, how the trauma isn't real, but I feel like the way that they deal with trauma is very real to life. Like, it definitely affects them, but I feel like it's not very much touched on, which I feel like is a very real way that people deal with trauma. And that's kind of what made it, like, darker in a way for me, because it was like, oh, like, it was so, like, the trauma was not, like, no one was manufactured in a lab that we know of. But, like, what made it so real, and what I love about the way that it was handled, was it was very much, like, real to life, in the sense that people all have very different ways of dealing with their trauma, and none of it was really explicitly talked about. Like, I feel like trauma was just, like an okay thing to have. Like, it is. It totally is an okay thing to have, but it was almost, like, expected of these characters, and that's what made it so dark and real for me.
Yeah, I also think, like, something I also want to add is, like, just kind of reflecting on society, I feel like a lot of people are bonded through trauma, which I feel like is actually pretty apparent in Guardians, because all of them are kind of bonded through being criminals and having these emotional baggages that they don't really delve into, but they do, which I think is also just an interesting kind of take on society, where there's, like, a good portion of people who are bonded through trauma, and, like, even through that, like, there are support groups who have traumatic events happen to them, or have, like, diseases or something, or support groups, basically. And I think it's, like, a really interesting take, because all of them are bonded because they each have similar actions that kind of brought them to the same place. I don't know. I think it's kind of interesting.
Wow. That was a really good point, Ryan.
Marcel, commercial number two.
Yes. Here is our ad for Marcel.
Then the second one, the one with Natalie in the bathtub.
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, hello. I didn't see you there. I was just spending some time in the bath. My name is Natalie Kroll, and I am the stage manager for the play The Audience Disturbs Marcel's Bath Time, and he is very upset with you all. I am a sophomore at Nebraska Wesleyan University in Lincoln, Nebraska, and I'm also a Spencer High School alumni. I would describe the show as this crazy, fun-filled, immersive experience where you, the audience, get to watch this man take a bath. He notices you, and then it just spirals from there. I first heard about this show through one of the directors, Kyle Gokin, a few years back, And he approached myself and a few classmates a few months ago about putting on this show and bringing it to Iowa. And I was just so excited to get on board as a stage manager. People should come to this show because it's an experience like you've never had before. It's full of audience interaction and improv, and it is sure to be a great time. The show will run December 17th through 19th at Arts on Grand in Spencer, Iowa. To get more information or to purchase tickets, go to marcellesbath.wixsite.com/my-site. Hope to see you there.
That was a really good ad, don't you think so, everyone?
Oh my god, it almost makes me want to go see the show.
Oh, you should. You know how you can see the show? By going to Spencer.
How? Show.
Kyle, what? How do I get tickets?
How do you get tickets? Well, I thank you for asking. Go to marcellesbath.wixsite.com/my-site.
Link down below.
Yes, link down below. And down also... below. You can go to, you can come 30 minutes before, our box office will be open 30 minutes before the show. So you can, now you can buy tickets there.
What?
I hate us so much.
Hey, if they didn't hear the inappropriate joke I made, then it never happened.
No.
I'm going to text Kyle with the inappropriate joke.
Oh, no.
No.
Okay,
no.
I'll text him after. You'll get it, Kyle. You'll get it too, Antonio.
No, I'm sorry. Us as the Coffee Boys do not associate with Meikle's actions.
That is not okay. You cannot get rid of me that easily. I literally live with you.
Anyway, I would like to disagree with Ryan on a point that he made earlier, because I think that could be an interesting conversation point.
Yeah, he wants me here, Ryan.
I think that the villain in Guardians of the Galaxy 1 is not that great.
I thought that was a given, though. Wait, did you say that you liked him?
I liked him.
Bro, Ronan was so irritating. He was such a whiny little baby.
He's, like, boring to me, I think.
He's like, I want...
Well, that's the whole point of the movie, I feel like. It's kind of like the God complex between Chris Pratt's character. I don't know why I'm blanking.
Why Chris
on his
Pratt
name.
Have a bigger God complex than Ronan?
No, literally.
It's the guy who wants to, like, blow up the planet.
It's literally the fight between two God complexes. So
and
it's
he
like...
wins it by dancing.
Yeah, that's...
But I don't feel like they give enough time to Ronan to justify that.
No, they don't.
I think that's what makes him a boring villain to me.
I agree.
Ronan is very much a, like, setup character for the future of the MCU. Yeah.
Oh, honestly, he just connects to a lot of different things.
Well, yeah, and, like, even the stone that he has and, like, the group that he's associated with, which I'm not going to get into because, it's kind of like... future films, which we'll figure out later, but
yeah, you have to watch all of our episodes.
You do. You have to watch all of them. We have how many episodes now? Let me look. I can tell you how many episodes we have. Would you like to know? This is our...
I don't actually know.
Let me see. Just a second. It's loading. It's taking...
a loyal follower.
No, but anyway, I'll like finish up my point. Like, no, I don't think Ronan is given enough time, but I think it's literally just the fact that it's like God complex against God complex that I think is hilarious. And I don't know. I
see that play out all the time at school.
Oh, I know. And
in the theater.
I love how Ronan is so angry, too. Like, it's so funny.
Bro, he's so angry for what? Doesn't Thanos call him, like, a whiny little baby, too?
Yeah. Sounds like that.
Never left my feet.
One of my favorite things... Oh, sorry.
No, go! Antonio, we love your input!
One of my favorite things about Ronan as a villain... and I think sometimes it works against the film, is how this film is so bright and colorful. And then you see Ronan, and he's in this dark room by himself, and they're pouring, like, weird black liquid on him. And
bro, just... what was up with that black liquid?
I don't know. He's
it's
like
a religious ceremony.
He's like this evil, forbidding guy. But the rest of the movie is like, yeah, everything's bright and colorful. It's so good. And then he's like, I am going to kill all of this planet. I think it works against the film a little bit. Because, like, sometimes it's just, like, you're watching, wow, this scene's so exciting, and then you just see this guy yelling at, like, Thanos through a screen or what, I don't know what was that, like, who the other person was. But he's,
I
like,
thought he was there with him.
Like, I have a stone, so I'm powerful. It's ridiculous. And I think it works against the film sometimes, but I do kind of like the concept of it.
He's like an emo teenager.
He really is.
He's like the whiny teenager of this film. He's like Groot as a teenager before Groot became
he's,
a teenager.
He's just the whiny teenager of the MCU.
Yeah.
Not a whiny teenager.
Anyway, do we want to take some time to do our final thoughts for Guardians of the Galaxy, the first one?
Can you give us the number first?
Oh, the number of episodes? Would you like to know what this episode is going to be?
Oh, yes we would love to.
This will be our 41st episode.
Happy 41st episode! We're 41 years old!
Anyway, what are our final thoughts about Guardians of the Galaxy, directed by James Gunn and starring Chris Pratt?
Great start to the Guardians of the Galaxy. I like the second one better. Yeah, I do. I'm sorry. That might be controversial. I loved the risk. I think it was a great risk for Marvel. And it was so fun to be alive when this movie came out. It provided a lot of great memories. And it got me really excited for the future of the MCU at a time where I was kind of over it.
Yeah. I will say this is probably my favorite origin story in terms of Marvel. I think it just does a really, really, really good job about like introducing a whole bunch of characters. And it, like, another interesting thing like that I kind of associate with the Guardians films is it's like Avengers but not. It's like their own little group. So, I don't know, I just really like it because they're like mini Avengers films and I love the Avengers films. Well, kind of. But I think the last two were amazing, but
You're a hater.
And I just think I love how it's such a just cinematic masterpiece, and I love the film a lot, and I think it has a lot going for it, and I cannot wait to discuss number two, but then also be excited about number three because that's coming.
Period. Oh, number so three. Excited.
Antonio,
I would just say that I think this movie is weird and I'm here for it because every time Marvel does something weird, I'm like, yeah. I mean,
all of the TV shows.
That's why I like WandaVision so much is because it's weird. And like comic books are weird and I feel like they should allow their movies to be weird too. And I think this is really what like started it is like, we can be weird because Guardians was weird and it worked.
See, and Antonio has taste, guys. I'm sorry. That was less funny than I thought it would be. You talking.
I thought it was funny.
I suppose it's my time to share my final thoughts. Miklo, I agree with you. I think Guardians of the Galaxy I like a little bit more. I mean, not Volume 1 a little bit more. Volume 2, sorry. Volume 2 I like a little bit more.
English is not with Kyle right now.
I am like very confused at this point. I don't know. Anyway, I like Volume 2 a little bit more. I think this movie's really good, and I think it's it's not the cookie cutter Marvel movie, but I feel like it struggles with a little bit of that, like where it has like a kind of a boring villain and they had to like tie in a whole bunch of stuff like Thanos and stuff, which is cool and all, but I feel like it holds it back a little bit from being at such like a high place that I hold Volume 2, if that makes sense. Otherwise, I think this is a really good movie. I think the character's the best probably we have in the MCU at this point. And like you were mentioning how like this movie came out at a time when like we're getting bored of the MCU and we needed something new. I feel like Guardians of Galaxy 3 is going to be that thing when we get to it. Cause right now I'm a huge fan of the MCU, but I feel like we're getting to a point where I'm just like, ooh, there's a lot of stuff coming out. I need a Guardians to kind of make something weird, you know, happen.
Yeah.
That's what I think. Those are my opinions. Now let us talk about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. What are our opening thoughts? What are our beginning thoughts about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2?
Stunning. Amazing. Took the original and went amazing.
Yeah. They literally, took characters, took the plot of, or just like, not the same story, but like the story significance of the first one and characters and everything, and like bumped it up a couple notches, and it was awesome. I love this film. I think it's a good film. I really do.
It's one of my favorites in the MCU.
The character development is astronomical in this movie. Yes.
Peter Quill actually becomes more of an asshole than you think he could. Yeah. I'm kidding. But yeah, my favorite relationship moment happened in this movie. It's one of the few Marvel... Actually, no, I cry in a lot of Marvel movies. But I was sobbing during the emotion of this one. But we'll
to that. I was gonna say too, like, I was tearing up like towards the end of this movie, and I did not expect to. I was like, I just feel like there's more emotional depth to this movie, which I really like. And they really did take the characters further. And it still has like such the fun and color and like the music and everything is like about the Guardians 1 that was great is in this movie, but it's more about it. And then they fix the things that they didn't like, but the villain is way better. And I just think this film is just what the second one, it's what the first one wanted to be, I think.
Yeah, I would agree. I really like this movie, and I think, like you said, this one is the one that the first one tried to be and didn't quite make it because of some of the setbacks that Marvel was giving it. But I feel like this movie is like, yeah, this is a really good movie. The character development is incredible. The one thing that I always don't like about it is that the plot doesn't move along as much. Like, I feel like that's a lot of the criticism this movie gets. And I understand that, but I feel like that's not the type of movie this is. It's more of like...
stay on the planet for a long time.
They do. And I don't think it really slows it down or anything. It just, the plot doesn't move along as much as other Marvel movies. But that's fine. I think it's still like a really emotionally impactful movie. It has hilarious moments. Oh my goodness. Baby Groot with the severed toe. Oh my goodness. Whoever thought of that? Like, that is like... I don't know. It's just so funny and stuff like that just makes me laugh. And I think this movie I remember seeing it in the theaters and just laughing along with it. And I don't know. I just thought it was hilarious.
I was about to say, I'm looking up the cast, but one of my favorite MCU lines ever is, it comes from, I'm totally forgetting what the character is. The blue one.
Oh, Nebula?
No, the other one.
Oh, is it on Mary Poppins?
Yeah, I'm Mary Poppins,
Michael
y'all.
Rooker!
It's one of my favorite lines.
This was his film!
Yeah, it really was. I really like the development to his character. I don't know why I can't find his name. Yondu. Okay, there. I love his character development in this film, and he makes the most of it. And he's such a lovable character by the end of this film, which is so sad. And why it's so sad for this film, because you like really see him turn into like this father figure that Peter Quill never had. So it's just like, it's so sad, but it's awesome. People with daddy issues relate to this film.
That's out of pocket. Before we continue talking about that, I just want to throw in one thing. Mantis. That's it. I love Mantis. She's my fave. She's one of my favorite characters in the whole MCU, and she was in this movie. But I want to talk more about this, so someone else go, because this is... Michael Rooker in this movie was, like, phenomenal. Like, his acting was ridiculous, and I love how the dad tied into the main antagonist, like, and then he died. It was awful. It was so sad.
I think, I really love how this movie, like, progresses its characters, but also adds in new ones. Like, Yondu was in the first movie, but he wasn't in it as much. He was more of, like, a side villain in a way. And Yondu in this is like, oh, I'm the father that you always wanted.
He was like the seventh guardian.
Yeah, in a lot of ways. And then we get Mantis, like you just said. Oh my goodness. Mantis brings this, like, even though we have Groot, Mantis brings like this childlike innocence to the role that's like, I think was really needed after, since Groot is not such a big presence anymore. Even though like the scenes with Baby Groot are hilarious, I feel like Groot can't be as much of a presence anymore just because Groot's like this small and like you can't really do much with that plot wise. I mean, you could, but I don't know. but I feel like this movie, even though I feel like characters like Drax and characters like Baby Groot got kind of set to the side a little bit, I feel like the additions of Mantis and more stuff from what is Karen Gillan's character?
Nebula
and then Yondu are both, all three of those are just really strong additions to the team, which is really cool.
So I think the thing that I wanted to talk about the most in reference to Guardians 2 is the relationship between Gamora and Nebula. So in the first movie, awful relationship. They were just beefing the whole time. Like, there was just no... I didn't feel like there was any substance there. But then we get to this movie, and I have a little sister, and she's my absolute, like, favorite person in the whole wide world. And just seeing the ways in which Nebula was truly just trying to protect Gamora
And like they were having that argument. She was like, I wanted to win. And she was like, I didn't want to win. I just wanted a sister. All you cared about was winning. Like, that part was just heartbreaking, because you take a character like Nebula, who was like so irritating in the first movie, and you just give her this human side where she just wanted her sister. Like, she was obviously upset that she had to, you know, like, become robotic, but she was really truly more upset at the fact that she didn't have a sister. She lost that in constantly in being in combat. And I think the way that they resolved that at the end, like, I was just crying, because just the relationship between them is so pure and it's so real to life. Like, I don't know if y'all have siblings. I know you do, but like, that bond is so important to me. And to hear a character, like, I love sibling relationships on screen when they're, like, done right. And just to hear a character say, like, that all they wanted was just to have that relationship with their sibling. Because, like, essentially what they were from was, like, a broken home. And they were pitted against each other, which isn't very far off from the real world. Like, that happens a lot in a lot of families. And it was just really nice to, like, see that. Like, Gamora is our hero, but she was in the wrong for, you know, not being there for her sister. And I loved that complexity to Gamora's character, and I love that complexity to Nebula's character, who was the villain who was trying to kill Gamora. Because then it gives her this more humane side, where it's like, oh, she's not only doing this because that's, like, what her father wants, but she was psychologically programmed to do this, and also she was just angry because she just wanted a sister, and she couldn't have one because Gamora wanted to live, which isn't Gamora's fault, but it just adds so much complexity to the movie.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that is just, like, even though that's not complete, I wouldn't call it the core of the movie, it, like, is, like, a second core of the movie, you know? It's just, like, that's really important, that point. And I feel like it's really good that we got more from Gamora, even though I feel like she had some strong stuff in the first movie. I feel like there could have been more, and I feel like this movie really gave more of that. And I hope we even get more in the third movie.
Yes, I love Gamora. I loved learning about her, like, because she's so much more than just that one chick with the sword. Like, I love that they gave her, like, so much to go off of, because as much as this is Peter Quill's, like, movie, like, I feel like you learn so much about her and what she needed to do to survive, like, her childhood in this movie. And it really sets you, no spoilers, but it really sets up what's about to happen in the MCU.
Yeah, I think, even, like, the same thing with Peter Quill's character. I feel like this movie is, like, the stepping stone of what also happens for him. Not only in, like, the relationship between him and Gamora, but also in the relationship with him, the relationship to himself and how he conducts himself in the world. Like, I mean, he's like a child in a lot of ways. He had a father figure who was not great. Yondu wasn't a great father figure. And he also had a father who was, yeah, he liked to kill people, which is kind of neat. No, I'm joking. But yeah, I feel like it really sets us up for Avengers Infinity War, which is, I think, is it the Guardians next? Yeah, that's where their next scene.
I also like that in this movie, every character is given more than they were in Guardians 1. Like, they have way more, like, intricate and, like, much more to deal with. Like, Rocket, like, his character is explored more. There's the relationship between Gamora and Nebula is more, like, fleshed out in this movie. Like, you were saying, Miklo, and then, like, I feel like even Drax, like, you get more into his character. And even though he's, like, funny, there's a time, there's, like, the emotional scene where, like, they're touched, like, Mantis touches him and she just breaks down because, like, I don't know. I just feel like every character is given so much to, like, explore within this movie. And I think that makes, like, all of their individual stories so enticing. While also not, it also doesn't, like, take away from the main story of, like, Chris Pratt or Star-Lord, who just has so much. Like, the dad is just such a big, like, thing, and it's such a great villain reveal, and I think it's,
yeah,
one of the best villains in the MCU.
Are you ready?
No, I'm not gonna let you speak
now, Ego. Something Miklo has, a massive ego.
Yeah, I do. This is my world and you're living in it. So Ego, he is, I actually really like that, because, like, Peter Quill has some massive daddy issues, like, period. Even in the first movie, like, some big daddy issues. And it was really nice to get him, like, in a conversation with his father. But, like, I really liked how much that tied into, like, his desire for more in regards to having a father and knowing more about his past. And then to have this reveal that he is part planet, is so, it's such an interesting way to go. And it was like, didn't the dad, like, he was a horny motherfucker. Like he went around and he like made kids so he could feed off of their energy. And then he'd like dispose of their bones. And yeah, remember? And then he like gave his mom cancer. Like Ego was an awful man, but it was so interesting the ways in which like he studied Peter Quill and was able to work off of that and get him to do what he wanted. And it was so nice to see Peter Quill like be able to fight that and be like, no, like I don't need a father. Like I love the Guardian movies because they're very real and they deal with very real issues. And that's a very real world issue, like not having a father growing up. And I think it's interesting the way that they chose to deal with it in a very real way, where there wasn't this connection between them that made everything better. Like Peter Quill had a father figure in his life and he lost him too. There wasn't this, oh, but you're my dad now. It was just kind of life. Like he just had to move forward and just keep going on.
Yeah, I feel like this Ego is also like a perfect villain because it's everything that Peter really needs is like that father figure, but then he's a villain. Like that's the perfect villain for a sequel, especially in the way that the movies move forward, in a way that Peter Quill's character just moves forward in the storylines. It's perfect in every way. And Peter gets to become a god. That's kind of cool. I mean, it's not cool because he's kind of immature and that probably would not be a good thing for the universe if Peter Quill was a god, but
yeah,
kind of cool.
It's literally too good to be true.
Yeah.
It's like
not Peter Quill being god.
I meant the villain. Like he's just literally everything Peter needs. Too good.
It's so interesting. Like he tailored himself to exactly what Peter would want in like a father.
Yeah, and also like something interesting just about like the whole character and when we figure out like Ego actually isn't a good person. Like I remember watching that for the first time and it was like mind-blowing. I was like, oh my god, what? Like I think that's something that the film did well, is it kind of did come out of left field because Ego just basically had his big monologue. It was like, yeah, here I am, here to screw up the world and then leave.
But I like that it all fit within his character.
Oh, it 1000% did. Like after like rewatching it, you could really see how slimy he actually was as a person, which is like so interesting. And yeah, I think this villain that they kind of chose for Guardians 2 was so much better in 1 in terms of that, just like the surprise element behind him. But then also at the same time, like Ronan felt like you could beat him. Ego,
Ronan was like a person. Couldn't
do much. Like Ego was a freaking planet. Like there was not much you could do with that.
Like Mantis just put him to sleep, and that's. Oh yeah, and then didn't they have like a Pac-Man fight? Pac-Man was in that, right?
Yeah,
that happened.
Oh wow, I forget. This film is so silly.
Claim that part of the film.
Mantis
got hit in the head with the rock.
We claim that part of the film. That is. Hilarious.
I really like it. I think it's.
I liked it.
It's so cheesy, but it's like
so absurd.
It's so in character.
Energies. Like, what are the stakes? It's so funny.
It's so in character though for him because he's like, I mean, he's from the 80s and he hasn't left the 80s because he hasn't lived through anything else but the 80s. It feels like.
Bro, movies have not left the 80s, like in general. True. Hollywood loves the 80s for no reason.
Well, next is gonna be the 90s.
It has a black ass style, is all I'm gonna say.
Yeah. I also feel like, what was I going to say? That in this movie that we just, it takes a really good turn after the Ego villain like reveal. And then we get like, you know, remember the Sovereign that come in? Anybody remember that? They kind of get forgotten about a lot.
Old people.
Oh, the gold people. No, those guys. They were.
Yeah. I know they're kind of annoying and they're kind of like out of nowhere. I think they're really funny because it's just like this, it's also another race of just beings who think they're gods. And so like, it's just a lot of people who think they're gods and it's quite the dynamic just all around everyone who thinks they're a god.
Yeah. I like the way that they're handled because I feel like they take themselves super seriously like Ronan would, but they're like the joke of the movie, which I think is so
they're
funny.
They're such a joke.
Yeah.
They're like, no, they literally are like the toads of the Marvel, no, the Guardians universe.
No, the Toads of the Marvel universe. I want them to come back.
Like Toads from like the Mario series?
Goombas or Toads?
No, not Goombas. I think Toads. Because even Toads more are, useless. Toads are so funny when they get like,
not Toads getting upset. Stuck in the blocks.
No, when they get upset, they're like, wah!
No, literally.
It's so funny. And that's what it reminds me of. It's so funny.
I see. Anyway, what else is going to talk about? Overall in this movie, like, I know we're like, we probably haven't talked about it enough. Is there anything else we want to talk about before we go to our final thoughts?
Your mom.
Anything? No. Okay. Okay. You're done talking. I'm putting you
on. No, you can't do that.
I don't know. I mean, like, move on to final thoughts. Like, I love this film. It's such a good film. I think it has a lot going for it. Not my favorite in terms of sequels. Honestly, my favorite just in terms of, I know I'm going to get so much hate for this, but like in terms of like childhood nostalgia is Iron Man 2 for me. But like, I know it's not the best film and I get that, but like, I just have too much going for that film. But I think it's still a really solid sequel, and I love James Gunn again. He's a fantastic
the biggest director. Sexy.
Yes. And I think it's like super interesting, like the correlations between him and Taika Waititi in terms of just like directing styles, which I think is pretty cool. But yeah, I don't know. Overall, really good film.
Oh, wow.
Taika's better. That's my opinion. I've watched all of his movies.
Story writing.
Yeah, in terms of story writing, I think Taika Waititi is
He's the best. I've watched every single one of his movies. I binge watched them over quarantine, and I watched them twice in a row now. Fantastic filmmaker.
Call me crazy, but Kyle might be a little biased.
I am. That is a fact.
Just a little. But anyway, really good film. I love what they did with all the characters and their character development. And yeah, that's like the biggest thing for the film was their characters and character development, which is awesome. And it does feel like a stepping stone. That's another thing with a lot of these movies, going back and watching them, like they're kind of just all stepping stones leading to this big thing that's going to happen. But like, obviously, like viewers for the first time are kind of just like, oh, nothing really big's happening. It's just like fun superhero movies. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I loved this movie. I thought that the connection and the emotional heart that it had was really nice to see coming from a Marvel movie, because I feel like as you get further into the MCU, like you get more of that. But it was so nice to see a film that really had such a bleeding heart that went with all of these bright colors. And it did everything we loved about the first movie, but I feel like it almost added. Like it felt like Marvel had the first movie on like a really tight leash, and this felt like James Gunn being a little more free. It's like you can walk a little further, and it was really nice to see James Gunn like free doing stuff. Like he's so I love his directing style so much. Like it's so so just tasteful, and I love this movie so much. It's so fun to go back and watch, because it's so different than even the first Guardians movie, which was such a departure from the rest of the MCU. And I love seeing that. I love the creativity that we're now finding in the MCU.
Yeah, I would agree. I think this movie is just, it kind of was a stepping stone for a lot of future things. Like we would have not gotten Thor Ragnarok without this movie. Like they would have never taken that risk. And we would have never gotten, I don't know what else. I'm trying to think. Like Eternals, even though like that movie's a little bit controversial right now because a lot of the critics hate it, a lot of the fans love it. I personally love it. I think we wouldn't have gotten movies like that without what was that?
We haven't seen it.
Oh no. I'm sorry. Watch it. It's great. It's so good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think like another correlation that we've actually reviewed before, which go watch the episode again, is Captain Marvel. Like it has a sort of like similar color style to it too.
It does. Anyway,
go on.
In similar characters, we literally get Ronin in Captain Marvel.
Oh, we spoiler. You should go back and watch it.
We've already
back
and watched
it. No, we already talked about it.
Yeah. Silly.
I wasn't there yet. I wasn't conceived yet.
I see. Okay. Antonio, what are your final thoughts?
I think both these movies really sold people that you can do Marvel space movies. And I think that's really, really cool, because again, led to Captain Marvel and Eternals and other cool stuff. and probably more stuff that we don't know about, I think happened because of these movies. And I think also it's just really nice to just see the second movie that is just better than the first, because that almost never happens in cinema. And it's just so great to see all the characters expanded on. And I think it leads really well into when we see them in like the next Avengers movie, when they're all like, they all have so much going, and like you see all the stakes in that movie and they start in these movies. And I just think the character arcs are phenomenal in this movie. And it's such a beautiful movie. I love these two movies. I actually have both the soundtracks of them on vinyl because I'm such a nerd. They're so great. It's so colorful, so great. We need more movies like this. And I hope that Marvel makes more movies like this, because they're such great films.
I agree. You're not a nerd. That makes you cool.
It does. I think it's cool.
Pretty cool.
You know what else is cool?
What is cool, Kyle?
What is caffeinating us? We're going to talk about what is caffeinating us. It's a segment where you talk about what is caffeinating you this week. Usually when we talk about what is caffeinating us, it's something like a movie or a show, but it can be even the smallest thing, like, oh, this cup of coffee is caffeinating. Not like it's caffeinating me,
but
like,
Hunchback. Like
giving me joy, you know, that kind of thing. So can I start with you, Antonio?
Yes.
Antonio, what is caffeinating you?
What is caffeinating me? Huh. I am caffeinated by being on this show, first of all. That's one of the things. Because you are the coffee boys, and you are caffeinating me with your presence.
Technically, we are Oh Good Morning, a pop culture podcast, but yes.
Oh, yes. Oh Good Morning, a pop culture podcast is caffeinating me. And also,
oh, wow.
Just wrapped up a show. So that was great.
You did. Antonio, do you want to ask me what's caffeinating me, and I can talk about that show a little bit?
Hey, Kyle, what's caffeinating you?
Well, I am so glad you asked. Okay, so Antonio was in this show yesterday and Monday called Magic Matt.
Magic Matt? So like Magic Mike?
Yes, and it was a parody of Magic Matt. Where there was male stripping and everything else in between. Literally,
my favorite thing.
Everything happened in this show. I saw a man in a morph suit do a dance, and then like the director was. It was very strange. I must say, it was the worst show I've ever seen. But it made me laugh the entire time. I'm sorry, Antonio. Well, everyone knows it's the worst show I've ever seen.
It's very badly written, but everyone involved with it knows it, so they like play along with it. And
was
so
Antonio fun. A stripper?
No, I was not a stripper.
Dang it, I'm so upset. No Magic Mike for no Magic.
You know who was a stripper?
Who?
Our guest from our last episode, Travis. He was the main character.
Travis. Period, Travis.
Yes, that's what happened. That's what was caffeinating me. It was a great show. I very much enjoyed it. I was just like, what just happened? And it was one of those things. It was, yeah, that's what happened. That's what's caffeinating me. Ryan, what is caffeinating you?
Well, I'm glad you asked me, because actually the thing that is caffeinating me right now, whoa, look at that. It is Tick, Tick, Boom. Oh, I love this film so much. I think that Lin-Manuel Miranda and whoever actually rewrote the whole thing did such a fantastic job in terms of rewriting it and making it like a really, really good story. And I honestly was not sure how this was gonna, like, I didn't know much about Tick, Tick, Boom going into this, but I just know that it was kind of like a story that was all over the place, and I really enjoyed it so much because a lot of the problems with the original Tick, Tick, Boom they fixed in the movie, which I thought was fantastic. I loved the actors in it. Vanessa Hudgens I'm not too crazy about, but I enjoyed Andrew Garfield as Jonathan Larson, which I was actually a little bit surprised as, because I thought he did a phenomenal job, and I love Joshua Henry.
He was so good.
Yeah, but I don't know. Fantastic film. Everyone needs to go check it out. I'm sure we'll probably do something about it, but I love Tick, Tick, Boom, and I think it's on Netflix. It is on Netflix. It is a fantastic movie. Yeah. Meatloaf. Yeah. What is caffeinating?
Would you mind showing what's been caffeinating me?
Oh, you know, I would have seen this coming.
I see.
It's Red Taylor's version. I know it came out like 3 weeks ago, but I've still have been binging. Hi, Jacob. Our roommate just.
That's not Jacob. That was Cooper.
Oh, hi, Cooper. Sorry. I confused them. Because it's my world, remember?
Yeah, and we're all living in it. It's your massive ego.
What?
Are you saying all white?
You're a minor. Yeah, I am. You're a minor character. It's fine. Red Taylor's version is a great album. I love Taylor Swift with all of my heart. She's my favorite person on the whole world, and only she would be able to re-record all of her albums to have ownership. It's not even about the money. It's just the fact that artists should be owning their art, and I don't think that that's something that should be at all. I don't think that that's something that should be at all politicized. Like, and also everyone just hates on her for no reason. Like, get a new joke. What's the joke? That she has boyfriends? Everyone does. You're not special. She dates plenty of people. Everyone does. But I love Taylor Swift. If you loved Taylor Swift back then and you want to get back into her, I would totally recommend checking this album out. It is amazing. What everyone's saying is true. And then some. I think she does amazing work, and hearing all of these new bits and pieces and hearing her re-record all of this is so amazing. Like, she's such a good artist, and All Too Well 10 minute version does not feel like 10 minutes is all I'm gonna say. Like, I it's amazing. I love Taylor Swift so much. Just, she's the best.
Kyle, last but not least, what is caffeinating you?
I already said what's caffeinating me, if you remember. But you know what else is exciting, and it's caffeinating me a little bit also? The audience disturbs Marcel's bath time, and he's very upset.
The audience disturbs Marcel's bath time?
There was a lot that just happened right now, and I'm not you forgetting that he went.
I know.
Not and Marcel.
Look at this.
I would say that that disturbed Marcel.
This is our program right here. Look, it says no refunds on it, because that's exciting. And we open it up. Look what's on the inside here. Oh, look at that. The audience disturbs Mar. There's our nice little logo. The audience disturbs Marcel's bath time, and he's very upset with you all. By Ryan M. Bolcherwicks.
Woo! Yeah, Ryan. Woo, 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 woo.
Yeah, you can watch it at Arts on Grand in Spencer, Iowa, and the tickets are $8. If you go to marcelsbath.wixsite.com/my-site, that's where you can find your tickets. And you can also learn a lot more information. We are actually, this is very, very, very exciting. We have a if you are a person who reads the Spencer Daily Reporter in Spencer, Iowa, we have a little article going up there soon, pretty soon. I'm not exactly sure when. I got a nice little interview that happened over the email, and I sent them a press release. So we're gonna get some publicity there. So check that out. That's gonna be kind of cool. And the radio next week, next Monday, will be on the KICD Iowa radio. Oh my goodness, check that out too. Like, and then buy tickets. That's what you should do. That's what you should do, because, oh wait, watch this. This is the most exciting part. Okay, so I'm rehearsing the show in my dorm room right now, just because that's what you do when you don't have a rehearsal space. So this is a bathtub in my dorm room right there. Look at that.
Bathtub.
It's the bathtub.
It's real.
The bathtub.
The bathtub. Oh my goodness! He screams in from that ad we played twice, three times.
It's the exact same one. You can find us at Marcel's Bath on Instagram. Oh my goodness, it's quite exciting. And just search hashtag Marcel's Bath on Instagram and Facebook, and you'll find the audience of Marcel's Bath time, and he's very upset with you all. Anyway. We want to thank you for watching and listening and following and reading and looking at the Coffee Boys. Oh, I'm sorry. At Oh Good Morning, a pop culture podcast. We changed our name. I'm so sorry.
Under the Coffee Boys production.
Under Coffee Boys production.
Coffee Boys productions.
Coffee Boys. The official place for all things Coffee Boys. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Anyway, thank you for always following us, and thank you for our 7 people who watch our podcast, and thank you for the 7 people that listen to our podcast. We thank you for your service to America and into the rest of the world. And look at the coffee cups on Ryan's hands, America. Look at that. Oh my goodness. Isn't that so
America,
cool?
You're missing this. Watch our show.
Watch our show. Look at that. Oh my goodness. Bathtubs, coffee. Oh, good morning, a pop culture podcast.
We'll see you next time.
Have a wonderful evening or day or morning, depending on when you listen to them. Goodbye.